Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This meeting is being recorded.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hoosier Huddle. After the dust settles on Indiana's 45-14 loss to Penn State, that was befuddling, I would call it, maddening. A lot of questions, not a whole lot of answers coming from that game on Saturday, Alex. I know you and I have talked at large about this at all the time, and we will not spend too much time on the game outside of why in the world is Jack Tuttle starting that game. Love Jack as a person, feel awful for him that he went down with an injury, but the roster management of Indiana right now is awful. That's the best word for it. It's awful. You have Dexter Williams, who's a third-year sophomore, and I get it. It's Penn State, but you know what? I'm done with babying guys. You're gonna eventually, if you're gonna be the guy at IU, you're eventually gonna have to play Penn State and Ohio State and Michigan and Michigan State and Purdue and in hostile environments and all that stuff and in bad weather. There's never an ideal time to say, hey, we're going to get you your first start. But to start somebody who is in the transfer portal, who entered the transfer portal 2 weeks ago, is unacceptable. It does nothing for your program. I get that you're not officially out of bowl contention, and you're still not officially out of bowl contention until you get your brains beat in by Ohio State on Saturday. But for all intents and purposes, after you lost to Maryland and Rutgers, it was over. The time to start Jack Tuttle was at Nebraska, in my opinion, and that time has passed. And we wish Jack the best and a speedy recovery. But, I mean, the roster management this year has been awful. You have a four-star in-state wide receiver who's redshirting. You've got four kickoff returns from him. And not a lot of – it wasn't like he was going out in routes and getting meaningful reps. He was returning kicks when if you had – Jalen Lucas, and in high leverage situations, you use Jalen Lucas anyway. It makes no sense. The program management made me more mad than IU's getting blown off the field and things like that. I know you probably feel the same, and we'll get into the health of the program. IU's probably not going to like what we have to say, but whatever, it needs to be said.
Yeah, I mean, we're one of six people still talking about the football program. So, you know, we should be thankful that we are. But yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty apathetic. I think I said it after the Maryland game, but just nothing easy. I don't know what the identity is. I don't have a single bright spot for you after yesterday.
James Evans, baby.
The uniforms look good. I don't know. But I don't know. It's pretty frustrating. I was pretty apathetic. I had no reaction to pretty much any score that Penn State had after it was tied at 7. You score to tie the game. You get an interception on the very next play that Penn State runs on offense. And then from that point on, look like an FCS school and got your doors absolutely blown off at home in another must-win game. No fight. Taiwan Mullen got in a fight, I think, in the fourth quarter. That was about the most energy and physicality I've seen on the field in the last 6 weeks. So at least that was good. Nothing. No really. I don't know.
It reminded me of games last year where they had, you know, the first drive was was solid, and then the rest of the game was absolute trash. And as soon as the opponent went ahead, they mailed it in. It really was a throwback game to last year. Quarterback injuries, offensive line, it was just – and it wasn't – it's that's not even the most maddening part. The most maddening part is that it doesn't seem that this administration gives a crap, that this is the product that they're rolling out, that – you know, you have facilities that you are quite frankly embarrassing to have. Yeah, it's an indoor facility. It was great 30 years ago. IU needs to, I forgot where the comment was, is either on Facebook or on Twitter in one of our threads, but IU cannot become stagnant in the facilities race. They cannot say, hey, in 2008, we put whatever, $50 million into the north end zone and all of that stuff. And it's ridiculous. And you know what was, and I'm going to sound like a total jerk right now. The thing that probably made me the most mad, I went and get a hot dog before the game started because the press box food is absolute garbage. The mustard was out. Like, come on. There's no, it's not like there was 50,000 people and it's halftime and you forgot. It's 60 minutes before kickoff. There's 40 people in the stands and you don't have deli mustard. Like, that's the kind of crap that it's so brainless and such an easy thing to do. Just, they don't care. It's obvious. They don't care. And the people who think that they're going to magically come up with $25.5 million, I don't know what to tell you. Have another drink, wishful thinking. It ain't happening. Your best bet is that, and whatever, if they do come up with the $25 million, do you really want Scott Dolson picking the next IU football coach? Cause I'm done with IU guys getting hired by IU. I'm done with it. They've been losing for 150 years. It's time to try something new, anything new. They need to clean house. And I don't think it happens this year. I don't think it happens if basketball has the season that they're expected to have. But it's time to realize that the football program has to matter. You know, you could do all these Olympic sports and all that stuff. If your football program doesn't matter, those sports are going out the window. You kiss soccer goodbye, kiss baseball goodbye, women's basketball. You're not going to be able to give NIL deals to people. Come on. It's embarrassing. And there are about 30,000 diehard IU fans who deserve better than the product that they're putting out. And you could scream and yell all you want at Tom Allen and all that stuff. It's not on him. It's not. It's on the athletic department and the culture that they built around the athletic department that has basically shoved football aside because, you know, basketball was elite in the 80s and 70s.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say I've been a, you know, very adamant defender of Allen. I think some of it is on him. So I don't want to say it's not on him or he's absolved of any blame. I think he absolutely is. But, you know, despite all of the challenges that are put against him and the team from an administration standpoint, some of the things that are on the field happening that you can control are just still absolutely appalling. And the absolute mismanagement of the roster top to bottom, the season's over. And I said this again after we lost the Rutgers game. The season was over again before Halloween for a second straight year. And yep, he's making the same mistake he made last year by playing the old guys that he promised, you know, we're going to play and change the culture and you're going to be drafted and don't care. I'm sick of seeing the same guys make the same mistakes, make the same blatant errors, late hits, missed assignments, 3 missed tackles on a run. Sick of it. Play the young guys. Let's see what we have. And doing it again for a second straight year when the season is over again is very disturbing in my mind. It's absolutely unacceptable, and it better change next week. You're going into a Big Ten game as a 39-point underdog, and no one cares. It's disgusting. 39-point underdog in a conference game, and everyone's like, well, yeah, that's just what it is. Disgusting. And I'm sick of it. And yeah, from an administration standpoint, the one constant in the history of college football that directly relates to success is spending money. And for whatever reason, in 200 years of Indiana University playing football, haven't been able to figure that out. I don't know how, I don't know why, but it's disgusting and I'm sick of it. So state of the program is horrible. So I'm one of your most passionate defenders. I have nothing to defend at this point. It's disgusting. It's embarrassing. I'm sick of it. And until somebody, you know, with money says this is enough, it's going to be the same as it is every year. So until we start paying for 3 home bye games every year, it's going to be the same thing every year. Until we start spending money on NIL, until we improve the indoor facility, until we improve the fan experience, gear offerings, what recruits get on their visits, it's going to be the same. So as much as I want to get worked up about it, may as well just watch the game every Saturday, hope for a couple cool plays, and then wait for basketball season, because that's what they want. So, you know, they're getting their wish. I'm sick of it. It's disgusting. But unfortunately, I don't think there's that many of us that think it's disgusting or that we deserve better, which, again, is what they want. So
no, yeah, it's definitely, it has to be a loud minority. There's definitely a loud majority who just doesn't care about football and doesn't. I don't know if that's goes back generations to, you know, having Notre Dame on TV and IU basketball on TV. I don't know the breakdown of whether it's if you're an alum of IU, do you care about IU football, or those people who are what I call reversible jacket fans, are they not alumni? Are they just the people who grew up in the state who grew up on IU basketball and Notre Dame football? I don't know. I haven't done that study. I mean,
you've seen, like, there are fans, you've seen it, like, within the last decade, you've seen the fan support. The turnout at the bowl game in Florida was awesome. You've seen awesome home crowds the last couple of years. The bucket game, I think, in 2015 in West Lafayette was about 40% IU fans. We stormed the field at Purdue. That's crap. There are more football fans than basketball fans, no matter how high and mighty and storied the basketball program is. They're there. They just have no reason to come to a game. Why would you come to a game at Memorial Stadium right now? There's zero reason to. The game experience has been the same for 10 years. The marching band stinks. The team stinks. The stadium itself and the concourses stinks. Tailgating stinks. Why would you go? There's no reason to go.
No, there's not. And, you know, the whole whatever, we never lost the tailgate. It was windy on Saturday. It was also 65 degrees and dry, and there's about 10 tailgaters out there. So I'm done with that. Never lost the tailgating stuff either. But you're right. There's no reason to come down to Bloomington. And I talked about this after the Rutgers game. The athletic department has to do more than the bare minimum to get people there. Put on a carnival, do something. You're already a clown show. So nothing you do, nothing you try is going to make you a bigger embarrassment than, you know, you already are. Even in the eyes of IU fans, it's an embarrassment. So, you know, I don't know, create a position, you know, a football game day general manager or game day production manager, something like that. Because
it costs money.
Yeah, you're right. It does cost money.
All the other programs hire. I think I saw something leading into the Tennessee-Georgia game. Tennessee has 53 coaching staff members on payroll. Can you imagine that in Bloomington?
There's no way. Our press box is not big enough for that.
There's no way. Yeah, there's no way. How did Tennessee go from we gift them a bowl game 2 years ago to, you know, being
number one in the country
and years later, you know, because they spend money and they have a good stadium environment and they have good fan support. It's not hard. Like, everyone's like, oh my God, it's so hard to win in the Big Ten. It's so hard to win in college football. Maryland is very stable. Maryland wins games. Purdue wins games. It's not Minnesota wins games. It's not rocket science. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. It's not hard.
No, and we got to get past the thinking of the only thing that matters is a national championship or getting to the college football playoff. Because, yeah, that's it. Nearly impossible. That means you're going to have an unbelievable season, you know, playing in the Big Ten East. You have to beat Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State, Purdue, Penn State, all that. To have those stars line up in a year is rare, but there's no reason IU can't do what they did in 19 and 20 on a consistent basis and go, you know, 8-4 in the regular season and, you know, 6-2 or 6-1 in the Big Ten. With, you know, that win over Michigan, a win over Michigan State and Penn State, like that was your once a decade, you know, team. But there's no reason you can't have a 2019, you know, every other year, or, you know, something where you're between 5 and 8 wins every single year. There's zero reason other than that IU doesn't spend the money. And it's for an institution who's about to get whatever, 9 figures, $100 million from TV money, and it's already spent. Yeah, it's probably already spent on things that needed to be spent on 25 years ago. But you gotta spend money to make money. It's gotta happen. They're going to let this program die on the vine if it hasn't already died on the vine, because the way it's going, they're not paying the $25.5 million this year. They're not paying the 20, whatever the next year. And really I think it drops to $7.8 million after the 24 season. There's even some question. Can IU really afford that? I mean, they probably can afford it, but do you really think they'll spend that money? So now you've got a lame duck coach for 3 more seasons. And I mean, who knows? Maybe Tom Allen's had enough and enough of not being supported by the administration and not having the tools to win. And yeah, he's at fault because look, Monster Matthews should have been benched after that late hit. That was just a stupid, selfish play. And then the next, whatever, 2 plays later, he goes to tackle the running back and bounces off of him like, you know, he's made out of rubber.
He bounced off him, then your preseason All Big Ten 5th-year senior in Mullen and your 6th-year grad safety John Haynes at safety and walked into the end zone. So
I don't know. There's this whole redshirting thing is you gotta figure out what you have. You have 4 games, 3 games now. Any guy who has not played in the 4, who's a young guy, has to play.
I don't even think the 4 thing doesn't matter. You have to play guys now or they're going to transfer, regardless of it. Like, you have to play them or they're going to leave.
Yep. Yeah, just treat them like it's their senior year.
If they're not going to play now, they're going to go, well, when the hell am I going to play?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's when are you going to play? And that's if I'm Dexter Williams, you know, the question I have for the coaching staff, and it goes back to that 2020 season. We saw Jack Tuttle get his bell rung against Wisconsin, and it was like they needed a gift from God to not play Dexter Williams. And then in the bowl game, Jack Tuttle separates his shoulder. And you have Dexter Williams, who had the ball practices, who's, you know, you're no longer just a freshman. You're at the end of your freshman season. You should be able to run the offense. And you've been running as the backup since November, the end of November. What's the issue with Dexter Williams? What's the red flag? Why is he now 3rd string? Like, what are we doing?
That's a
question I hope somebody asks tomorrow.
Nobody will, because no one will be at the press conference. But, you know, my thing, I saw a lot of people griping on Twitter, which I get, you know, why Dexter, where's Dexter? I'm not going to sit here and say we know who should play. And, you know, we thought, you know, he's a better quarterback or this or that. the bottom line is Jack Tuttle should not have started the game. So I don't care who they picked, if it was Sorsby or Williams. Jack Tuttle, and again, love the guy. He had great moments for us, you know, battled his heart out in the COVID year, played super hurt in the Ole Miss bowl game, on and on and on. He's leaving, and I hope he can still transfer now. I don't know how that works, but I hope he didn't screw up his chance to play somewhere else next year by coming into the game yesterday. But the bottom line is he should have not started the game or seen the field yesterday. And regardless,
it does IU nothing.
Yeah.
You needed a miracle to win that game. And then you needed two more miracles after that to get to a bowl game. It does you nothing. You wasted almost two quarters of reps, that game reps against a top tier defense in the Big Ten that you don't get.
For Tuttle to run the ball eight times. It's not even like, oh, he'll get the ball out better and run the offense better. No, he just scrambled. So it's like, yeah, I get the offensive line stinks and the offense has played horribly, but
you just wasted a whole
anyway from the offense. Not like anybody else on offense benefited by Tuttle playing.
No, you wasted whatever four drive, however many drives he had in the first half, four or five drives. And you know, you look at the offensive line. I don't know what happened to Josh Sales, but he didn't return after a play in the first half, and he had Parker
Hannah again. And then Sammy, what happened the rest of the game?
It was a disaster. Nothing.
Happened. It was Parker Hannah playing right tackle.
Yeah.
Play Bray Lynch or play Carter Smith. Like, what are you doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? Parker Hannah, we know he's terrible. We've seen him be terrible all season, and he's gone. He's a fifth year, sixth year senior. Play your two freshmen that were super high. It's just the roster mismanagement, like the program functioning parts now, 6 years in. There are things happening 6 years in that should not be happening. And again, no one cares because basketball starts tomorrow. But just fundamentally flawed organization of the college football program, and it's disgusting. I don't know.
And it goes back to last year. You go back to the years where IU was winning in blowout games, and they didn't play those young guys. So it's been a theme, and I know I've complained about it in the past, but it's been a theme throughout Allen's tenure is that he doesn't play the reserves. Like last year against Ohio State, getting their brains beat in, you're playing Micah McFadden in the fourth quarter. Like, I get that he wants to play, and the guy is a warrior, but he was going pro. He's not sticking around, and you lost Ty Wise because of it, and you lost some other linebackers because of it, and it's like, what are you doing? And it's like, I don't even care about the play anymore right now. It's how are you managing this program to be successful next year? And it's not. Because the way it sets up, you have a stupid series with Louisville that you scheduled so that basketball could play Louisville, so that Tom Crean could play Louisville for three games and get his brains beaten by the Cardinals too. So it's disgusting that Indiana football is being sacrificed. Even going back to that series, back to maybe Tom Crean beats Louisville and you make a couple fans happy that you're playing down in Louisville and you're playing in Indianapolis and stuff like that. I mean, come on. It makes zero sense. And then you're playing a stupid game at Connecticut. You're playing Notre Dame because some people wanted to play Notre Dame. Like, what are you doing? It does not – go play three wins. You need to do that. Yes. At home, or
no more,
you know what?
No more 2-for-1s with Western Kentucky because it's cheaper.
I'm fine with the 2-for-1. No more giving
a game with Ball State on the road or in Indy because that's what you do to help out in-state programs. Look around the Big Ten. Nobody else does that.
Yeah, I'm actually okay with playing in Indianapolis against Ball State, but I'd want it to be an Indiana home game in terms of the game operations. Or, one of those neutral site games where it's like an Indy kickoff classic. Or whatever, but yeah, you're right. No, stop with those games. Stop with the random games, traveling places. Because you know what, You very well could have lost to Western Kentucky last year. You've lost to Bowling Green in the past. You've lost to Ball State. I mean, Kevin Wilson lost to Ball State twice, and you lost to Ball State like three times since 2008. It's this guy, like, somebody in that department needs to figure out how to run a football program. You do it like Kansas State did it, because Kansas State was the worst football program in the history of football programs for a very long time. Bill Schneider came in, changed the whole program, got his JUCO transfers, played three, four, however many wins you could get in the non-conference game and still qualify for a bowl, and have them still qualify for bowl eligibility. He did. And you know what? Kansas State is a solid program now.
Yep.
Nobody remembers Ken.
Yep. And they hired an FCS coach, but the infrastructure was solid. The money they spend is solid, and they're still really good now.
Even and he was a winning
head coach.
FCS coach.
Yeah.
He was a winning FCS coach. And you see it now going with Kansas, with Lance Leipold. You know, it's somebody in the athletic department needs to figure out, or they need to hire somebody who knows how to run a football program. Somebody from the South, somebody, anybody, just not an IU guy, not a former IU manager, not a former IU player, not a former IU coach. Get somebody who knows what they're doing, who has not been exposed to the IU culture, and who could also handle saying, listen, basketball is not king anymore. It could be 1A, 1B, but right now the emphasis needs to be on fixing the football program, investing in the football program. And, you know, you look at all the facilities around the Big Ten that are getting built, and everybody is blown by IU. Everybody. I've been there. I've been to every Big Ten stadium except for Minnesota, and that's brand new. So it's not even
the stadium is cool, but that's 6 days or 7 days a year. It's the other stuff that no one sees. We're not even close. We're not getting blown by. We're not getting passed up. We've been passed up, even with, you know, the stuff in the end zone. It's not even close. We're not even close.
No.
Not even close.
And some could argue that it's not, you don't have football only facilities. How many times have we seen spring practice, and as we're doing interviews, the baseball and softball teams are coming into Mellencamp to use batting cages? I mean, they have a nice facility up at the. It's just that does not happen at other places in the Power Five.
Can you imagine the women's soccer program or a different program at Michigan asking to use the Big House field for something? Can you imagine that? No, because it would never happen.
No, they use Michigan Stadium for other stuff, but it was the Winter Classic with the NHL. It was a international soccer game where it's bringing in millions and millions of dollars and things like that. And that if they actually mess up the field, that I'm sure Michigan had in their contract, look, any damage done to the field, you're going to have to replace it.
Yeah, because they know what they're doing. Purely from like a in the department standpoint, can you imagine a different program requesting?
No.
Oh, we're gonna do practice or have a barbecue out on the football field. No.
No, it doesn't happen. The only thing they're doing in the football stadium is running stadium stairs. That's it.
Yeah. So it's, I don't know, just stuff like that. And then, you know, a big theme of this, you know, era right now has been, oh, you know, I want to, you know, build the tradition and restore the culture. And the tradition of what? The culture of what? Being the suckiest program in the history of college football? That's what I don't get. Oh, we can't do different jerseys. We got to, you know, we're playing for the name on the front of the jersey. We suck. What is the culture you're trying to bring back? Or, you know, what's the history we're, you know, going for? Being the losingest program in the history of the major Division I football? Try something different. I don't understand. What are we honoring? What tradition do we need to rely on or restore? Or the tradition we've had in 200 years of being a university is being awful at football. So why doesn't anybody just go, let's completely blow it up. Let's completely do something different. Let's try and do something crazy. Let's nothing. Let's just, we'll roll the ball out 12 times because the Big Ten wants us to play 12 football games. We'll do all the cute little, you know, hype videos in July, and then we'll just go get our doors blown off in Big Ten play every season. That's our tradition.
Yeah, outside
no one cares.
Outside
we're 40 point underdogs in a Big Ten game next week, and everyone's just like, "Yeah, that's what it is." Yeah, I hope we cover. What? 40 point underdogs in a conference game in November, and we're like, "Yeah,
basketball season,
unbelievable."
It is. It is. Well, you know what? It's very believable.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, nothing is unbelievable when it comes to IU. You know, people are like, oh my God, this is shocking. No, it's not. This is, they've been doing the same thing, as you said, for 200 years. So why, you know, it's outside of maybe a dozen years, IU football has been absolutely awful. And you go back, if people want to, oh, well, the Mallory eras are so great. Well, you know what? The same thing happened at the end of the Mallory era as it's happening now with Tom Allen. You had a coach that was overly loyal to an assistant, and there was no progress on facilities. Crowds went down. You didn't take advantage of the hot streak you had. You didn't go to a bowl game in Detroit because you didn't want to spend the money to go to the Motor City Bowl. When, you know what? Nobody cares if you played in the Motor City Bowl in 1994, but it counts as another bowl game, so that when you look at the records, it says, oh, instead of they went to 6 bowl games in 7 years instead of 5 in 7 years. It's the same stuff over and over again, and it's not going to change.
Yeah,
And I don't see IU moving on from Tom Allen. And I don't think fans, if I'm a fan, I don't want them to move on from Tom Allen unless they move on from other people in the athletic department.
That's not going to happen. So it's not worth talking about.
No.
Everybody's nice, and we're, you know, we follow all the rules, and we're good to everybody, and, you know, rah rah, go Hoosiers, whatever. Yeah,
God forbid a media member looks at a recruit on the sideline the wrong way. You have a compliance person run over and yell at them. Or, you know, it's everybody else is skirting the rules. And IU is sitting here playing by the rules like a bunch of dummies.
I don't know. I just pulled up the box score, which I should not have done.
Not pretty. James Evans, one positive, James Evans has become an elite punter.
Yeah, 69-yard punt, very nice.
Five inside the 20, two inside the 5, and 3 over 50 yards in a really windy day. Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Batting that ball back on one of those was probably the best play on the ball Jalen Williams has made all year.
Yeah. He got abused on Saturday. But also, what is IU? IU hyped up this weather to be like a typhoon on Saturday and drove people away for tailgating and all that stuff. And it's like, no big deal. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, no one was there anyway. Let's be real.
No.
But yeah, box score. If I told you that Penn State had more tackles for loss than IU had first downs, you would say true or false?
True.
If I told you Penn State had more first downs than Indiana had points, you would say true or false?
True.
Yeah, you're right. Penn State had
more
tackles for loss, and IU had 14 points.
They had 64 yards in lost yardage for tackles for loss, and IU had 65 rushing yards.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one. Another game with 5+ sacks given up, 1.9 yards per carry,
I mean, it makes no sense.
Out-penalized again.
It makes zero sense. Just looking at who touched the ball. Josh Henderson averaged 6.3 yards a carry. You got him the ball seven times. Now, look, Sean Shivers only had three carries, but it's for negative 6 yards. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Jalen Lucas, yeah. You're running him up the middle. Got the ball eight times. Got 8 yards. You have a four-star freshman in-state player at receiver, and you're redshirting him. That doesn't happen at other places. Omar Cooper needs to be on the field.
Well, especially at IU, it's not like you're sitting, you know, it's not like a, you know, factory.
No, he's sitting behind Javon Swinton, who has more drops than, you know, a rainstorm.
But he wears a hoodie under his jersey, so he looks sweet.
And it makes no sense.
I don't know. I don't want to be critical of the players because then, you know.
No, but it's
so annoying how bad we suck.
It's just I don't know. There's no Ken Bykoff put it well on the post game yesterday. You know, he said IU basketball, the fans have faith that they'll be good. Like that they believe that they'll be good, and all Indiana has is hope. It's that you hope that they might be good, and hope doesn't do anything. Yeah, it's the hope that kills you. I think that's the line from Ted Lasso. Mm-hmm. It's the hope that kills you. That's what it is. Indiana football is just you hope you could do something. Not, hey, let's actually do something. Let's actually invest in the football program. Let's actually get, you know, former – and I'm glad that the 2017 was back on the field and things like that, because IU needs to do that every single year. I don't care if it's a 15-year. They need to bring back bowl teams and former players every single year and start treating them like the players for basketball that you roll out the red carpet for.
Did they do anything in game for Micah or Peyton Hendershot?
Not that I noticed.
That's good. The two guys in the NFL that are playing well as rookies that spent their bye week in Bloomington to watch us get crushed, and you don't put them up on the scoreboard or do anything or tweet out a picture during the game.
I mean, they did. They tweeted out that video of Micah with Cam Jones at the walk. And I know they did the walk, but yeah, it's
we had too many game highlights to post, so they couldn't get that one in there, I guess. Yeah,
yeah, I don't know. I didn't notice it. I also wasn't paying attention all that much. I was more researching how many TFLs an opponent has as a record. I couldn't find it. It's not a stat. But yeah, you got to start bringing former players back and getting them to care and rolling out the red carpet for them. You got to acknowledge that your football program exists. That's the problem.
Well, I just want to see like somebody, you know, if it's Scott or if it's somebody else, just say, this is what I think we need. We need help. Like, I just want somebody to say, I need money. We need money. If you donate to Best, this is what I need. Help me.
And yes. Yes. And have a vision.
I know it's, you know, maybe public is not, you know, the best way, but you would hear about that stuff if people were back channeling and you would hear, oh, IU's asking for a ton of money because they think they're, you know, way in over their heads and they need a new indoor. You would hear about that stuff. We haven't heard any of that. I've never heard any of that.
No. And you need to pitch the vision. You need, and nobody's going to donate because, oh, well, you know, IU needs a new, well, they have Mellencamp. So no, you need to, this is what we want to do. Here is a rendering. It costs whatever, a couple grand to get a rendering.
Here's what all the other schools we play look like. Here's what the schools in the MAC look like.
Yeah. Here's what we want to do. Here's what we have. Here's what we want to do. Here's how much it costs. And we'll give you better basketball seats if you donate this amount of money. Or, you know, we'll give you sideline passes for the Ohio State game, or you know, something like that, whatever VIP treatment they could get that literally cost you nothing. It costs you nothing to get sideline passes for the game. It costs you nothing, maybe a couple hundred bucks to put them in the suite seats in the end zone.
Take them with you to Vegas for the Arizona basketball game.
Like, yeah. You know, give them the VIP treatment, you know, to have them sit courtside at a basketball game or whatever, the 1976 club. It's, you got to pitch a vision. And there is no vision. That, what is the vision for Indiana football? Well, you know, you're right. We have cool uniforms that go back to 1991 and it says Indiana on the chest. So we look like the basketball program.
We're nice to everybody.
Oh yeah. We have good sportsmanship and we have LED lights that are new, but we don't use them.
And I don't know if I've ever said this before. So when they finally closed off the north or the south end zone, this might be my biggest gripe off of the field related to the program. So this is kind of a big announcement for me. When they finally did the new scoreboard, the fact that it doesn't go all the way to the top of the limestone border and there's a little gap at the top, you have no idea how mad that makes me. Next time you're at the stadium, look at it. I know there's a camera in the middle at the top of it to shoot film and stuff and for TV. That makes sense. But the LED like board could go around the camera up to the top of it, to the border of the limestone, and it doesn't. There's just like a black rectangle all the way across the top. Ugly, drives me absolutely crazy. And the fact everyone said that looked good or no one said anything when they were installing that pretty much sums up the state of the program. But so anyone listening or watching, first of all, thank you. Hope you take a deep breath and we get through the end of the season together. But two, next time.
Deep breath and a couple shots.
Yeah, yeah. And then, but next time you're at the stadium, look at that. Cause it, I mean, maybe I just, this is one of those things I shouldn't have pointed out. Cause you know, it's like the background noise. Oh, do you hear that? No, but now that you pointed it out, now I can't stop hearing it. Next time you're there, look at it. It drives me crazy how bad it looks. It looks so bad. And it drives me nuts.
I remember you complaining about it and I kind of forgot about it. So thanks for bringing it back up. So next time against Purdue, I'll be staring at the black bar on the top of the scoreboard. But yeah, it's the little things like that. It's, you know, the banners around the stadium are old and tattered. That say Indiana Hoosiers. Those things have been up for over a decade. Clean them, get new ones. You have LED lights. You don't have a light show. You played a whole bunch of late afternoon, evening games and stuff like that. Not having full mustard things at the beginning of the game. It's one working elevator in the press box. It's the little things, just the little things, and they add up, and it adds up on the field too. You talked about that yesterday. The little thing, not scoring on the interception, the Jack Tuttle sliding early, not getting the first down, and that I think that led to Penn State touchdown. It probably in the long run does not make a difference in the outcome of the game, but it's those little things that it adds up, and it just shows that you're a dysfunctional program. Not having jerseys ready for kickoff against Illinois when, you know, everybody's been hyping up this game as the biggest game of the Tom Allen era, and you don't have a freaking T-shirt ready, for your highest rated recruit or, anybody else. It's stuff like that. It is a no-brainer to have, hey, NIL was announced. Let's get Adidas on the phone. Or it should have even been, hey, NIL is going to be announced in 3 months. Let's get Adidas on the phone. What do we need to do to get these things ready to go? and out the door, because you didn't, they did not take advantage of the 2019-2020 season in 2021 when you had NIL. This thing was coming down the pipe. Everybody could see it from 50 miles away, and all of a sudden you're shocked that NIL, and you're not ready for it. And you know what pisses me off the most? You have the Kelley School of Business and you have the Cuban Center right there ready to do free work for you, and it's you can't get a t-shirt for Desaun McCullough. You can't put a couple players on the to do in-house commercials. You can't have banners that look, you know, like they haven't been rolled out of the closet from 1985. And you know what? And I know Andy Graham's going to agree with me. You can't get the color crimson correct. They're red. We look like Wisconsin. We look like Rutgers, and we look like Nebraska. Indiana's colors are not red and white. That's why I never liked the whole go big red thing. We're not red. We're crimson. It's those failures that just add up. And yeah, people call you crazy and all that stuff. But those are the red flags that just scream ineptitude.
Yeah. I've, you know, said it for a long time, but you never know. Everyone, oh, you know, you're an idiot. Why do you do this to yourself? You know, yeah, I'll never stop. So
no, it's your alma mater. This is why college sports are so great, because you feel like you're part of the program. You know, you went to the school, you have something in common, you have, you know, friends who, you know, went to that school and things like that. We have our group text message, and you know, I'm sure everybody has that group, and it's, there's just something special about that time. And it's not just in Indiana, it's anywhere. There's something special about those college years that you spend going to sporting events, going to the bars, hanging out. And yeah, we'll be back. We're not going to duck out like some other people because it got a little bit hard. But it's, you want the program to be good as an alumnus of the school. Because I'm sick of getting text messages from my buddies who are Michigan and Ohio State fans. Like, you know, I'm done being the butt of jokes, and it's getting embarrassing. Luckily, my brother didn't go to a school with college with football, so he can't talk crap. But I'm done with all these other people talking crap, and it's because the football program has been treated as the redheaded stepchild for 150 years.
Yeah, I don't know. The good news is the schedule lightens up, games. And we're not on national TV this Saturday. So
that, yeah, we are.
Yeah, I was kidding.
So like, hold on, we're on Fox.
Another national kickoff game, and at Ohio State, and Big Noon kickoff will be there.
Yeah, Big Noon. That's the second time. They're just following Indiana around Big Noon kickoff.
Yeah. Yeah, pile everybody into the clown car.
Yep. Well, that's what we're doing. We'll be out there on Saturday at Ohio State with Don and Rhett in the radio booth doing the stats and all that stuff. So we'll have you covered. Alex, thanks for jumping on and you know, shooting it for about an hour. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We're as fed up as you guys, but we'll continue to cover the program, because you know what? I think that's the most value we could bring to the program, is giving it coverage and covering it as we would like to have the program covered as fans. That's the reason I started the site, was because as an Indiana football fan, there was nobody covering the team. So I said, you know what? We're going to do it ourselves. And here we are nearly 10 years later. Had some good times, had some bad times. But yeah, thanks for joining us. It's the Hoosier Huddle Roundtable. You can follow us on Twitter at @Hoosier_Huddle. Subscribe, rate, like, comment on YouTube. Same thing on Facebook. And, you know, keep plugging away. Just you know, we got to make this the football program matter to the right people, and we'll see. We got three more games left to finish out the season. Next week, as we said, is a noon kickoff on Fox against Ohio State in Columbus. I believe the line was 38 and a hook, but that probably has gone up. Might be a 45 now, Alex, since the show started. But we'll see. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back with our roundtable on Tuesday evening.
Yep, sounds great. Thanks, as always, for having me. Go IU.